Saw an article the other day that stated that Medicare premiums are going to be on the rise. So I invited my next guest to join me who knows a lot about this topic. His name is Jay O. He is a certified financial planner and managing principal of GH2 Benefits based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hey, Jay, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Steve.
So as I said, I understand Medicare premiums will be rising in 2020. How much more will it cost for, I guess it's Medicare Part B, maybe Part A as well? Why don't you take us through that?
Sure. The most notable is that the monthly premium that people will pay for Medicare Part B will increase for most people from $135.50 in 2019 up to $144.60. If you go backwards, this will largely eat most of the increase in Social Security benefits, which will not be growing at that same rate.
Right, right. So let me do a little bit math on my my iPhone here. 9 divided by 135 is about a 7% rise, right?
That's exactly right. That's it, so 7%. Nowhere near the 1.6%, I believe, for yeah. Social Security. That's correct.
Okay, but this is a double-edged sword because it's not only your premiums, but the other place of cost in this equation is the deductible. Is that changing?
The deductible is rising. It's going from 185 to 198 in 2020, which is marginal to some degree for higher income persons. I think to swerve back to the premiums, that the premium extra amount, which is called IRMA, if you will, that's the shorthand,
okay,
is also going to be increasing, and the rate increase is also in picking up as well.
The rate of increase. So
that is correct.
Was there a reason given for this accelerating increase in the premium and deductible for Medicare?
Years ago, this was legislated. So we have known that this rate would increase. The flip side, I guess, to some degree, is that the income brackets. So IRMA is an adjusted premium amount based on your income, on modified adjusted gross income. And the brackets have also been adjusted slightly higher along with CPI, which is the inflation index.
I saw something that said, too, that part of the reason for the increase was due largely to the rising spending on physician-administered drugs. Do you know about that?
Well, I'd say, generally speaking, that healthcare costs so complicated with humongous stakeholders, whether that be physicians, yeah, hospitals. You're talking about very large, knowledgeable stakeholders with enormous pressures of their own. All of us do. And there's demographic reality. There's no question that there are certain medications which are not administered at your home, meaning you don't go and fill them at Walgreens or the pharmacy, but are administered in a hospital or an office setting, which are covered by Part B, and those tend to be the very, very expensive medications. Infusion therapy, for example, chemotherapy, which is, can be administered in an office, that these medications are covered by Part B, and they've experienced high rates of increase with regard to price.
Everybody thinks that Medicare is something like $140 a month, but it really depends on your income. I think a lot of people are shocked. That $140 or so a month, that's if you file an individual return, that's up to an income of $87,000. Married filing jointly, it's $174,000. But if you make, let's say you make, $160,000 or more, your premium can rise to $460. So this is definitely a graded cost. Obviously, if you make more, you can pay more, and I guess that's fair. But to me, the degree of the increase was somewhat shocking.
It would be surprising to many, and as I said right at my first comments, is that the rate of this increase, the angle, if you will, from $144.60, which is the base amount, up to the maximum of $491.60 to those households that make over $750,000, the rate is increasing. And, we're not going to settle this debate here, Steve, but you could also call this double taxation, right?
Yeah.
Because they've been withheld for the Medicare tax during their payroll deduction years.
The government has no trouble taxing us twice.
The government has no trouble doing that.
You know, we don't have a lot of time, so I do want to make it clear that the fair amount of people won't be paying these increases because of the hold harmless provision. Can you explain that to us?
Sure. And this is another piece of, you know, legislation here. Hold harmless basically means that, you know, a large percent of the population can't really have these rate increases. So, as I said, most persons are at $144.60. But the reality is that if that is greater than the amount of your Social Security increase, then they cannot increase your Social Security premium. That said, if you're a newly turning 65 person, that doesn't apply to you and you get the new rate, $144.60.
Yeah. Now, what if you decide not to take Social Security till age 70? So you're not capped on the Medicare premium like you would be if you did take it at age 65. Yeah.
You're talking about very subtle points here, but you are no doubt correct.
Oh, okay. So, you know, it's interesting because there's a lot to consider, you know, about delaying your Social Security. And I don't know if this is a big deal because I haven't really done the math, but here's a little extra point that if you do wait, then you will absorb the full amount of the increase. Whereas if you've taken your Social Security earlier, you're going to be locked in to a rate of increase that matches the rate of increase inflation adjustment on your Social Security. I don't think that was too complicated. Do you?
pretty complicated. But yeah, you are right. In the overall context of the 5,000-foot view is that still Medicare, unless you're at the very highest tier, the cost of Medicare is going to be far superior to the private market.
Yes, yes.
And it's both from the dollar point of view, and that's even before you actually use the coverage.
Yeah, yeah.
So what goes away from your individual health insurance, $5,000 deductible, $10,000 out-of-pocket maximum,
excellent point.
Those disappear.
Yeah. And I think for private insurance, you know, if you're in your 60s, you're paying upwards of over $12,000 plus.
Easily.
Right? Yeah. Well, you're in this business. What is the typical premium at that age?
Well, just before 65, if you're 64 years old,
yeah,
and anything close to what Medicare looks like, anything close,
okay,
would be easily $1,400-$1,500 a month plus.
Ah. Okay, so compare that to at most 500, we'll call it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's still a good deal.
Even if you had add-ons,
mm-hmm,
you know, add-ons are not, and you know, we're not going to get into every little nuance here, but just generically speaking, depending on the where you are in the country and your sex, somewhere between $100 to $300 a month. I realize that's a wide range, but even at the high end, 300 plus 500 is 800.
Yeah.
Nowhere near where private health insurance would be or employer sponsored coverage at the fully loaded price.
We're not even talking, I think you just alluded to it, but we're not really even talking about getting supplemental coverage here because that's that extra money that you're talking about because Medicare stops at a certain point and, you know, it's up to the individual as far as, let's say, paying Part A where it's paying hospital costs, right? After 90 days, I think you're responsible for $700 a day or something.
So what happens here is I compare Medicare, the federally issued card, to be a very good chassis to a car. That said, it's not a complete car. It doesn't have airbags and, you know, fenders, if you will, when fenders existed. What happens is the federal card is a very good starting point, but yet by itself, it does expose you to financial risk if you required healthcare services. And the punchline here is the federal card, Part A and Part B, they have no maximum out-of-pocket limit embedded.
Yeah.
So 20%, for example, under Part B, 20% of very huge numbers is still a huge number.
Right.
Under the supplements, whether that be Medigap or Medicare Advantage, there are built-in maximums. In Medigap, the mechanism is slightly different, meaning that Medigap will cover the entirety of what Medicare does not after you've met the Part B deductible. And under Medicare Advantage, a slightly different set of mechanisms, but every Medicare Advantage plan must have, not can have, but must have a maximum out-of-pocket limit. Mm-hmm. So those features by themselves are very important add-ons to the chassis.
Well, you know, the idea of insurance is not to really take care of the little stuff. It's to prevent financial disaster.
100%.
Right? So that's what the supplement does. It basically caps your responsibility and caps your risk. Jay, we are out of time. My guest, Jay O, Certified Financial Planner, Managing Principal of GH2 Benefits. As I said, he's based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We're speaking in November. What's the weather like up there, Jay?
Well, it's colder here than it is there.
You should be a politician. Go ahead.
Right. Is that even though I'm not a politician and decidedly not so, you can find out more information about Medicare on my book. It's coming out in January, being published by Allworth Press, MaximizeYourMedicare.com. It is available on pre-order now, and there's a YouTube channel so you can hear more important details, irrespective of net worth or health situation.
All right, say the name of the book again.
Maximize Your Medicare.
Okay, and my guest is J-A-E-O-O-H. And also, Jay, when the book comes out, give us a call. We'll interview you and try to give you a little boost and also learn some of this stuff from you.
Appreciate the time, Steve. My privilege.
My pleasure. So, as you know, our mission is always to educate you and to remind you week after week that we love to get your questions, because we do. So, you know, these are complicated times and some subjects are complicated, and you want to be able to see them and reread them and look at the transcripts and see the links to all of the things that we talk about. So come to our website, which is stevepomerantz.com. While you're there, sign up for our weekly update, where in your inbox every single week, you'll see every single segment and commentary that I do. Again, that's stevepomerantz.com.